Kia ora. Welcome to Lunch Money, the audio version of the live webinar that takes questions from our investors.
Well, welcome everyone to a very special week of Lunch Money. It's the US Shares Edition. For those of you who are new to Lunch Money, we do these every Thursday at lunchtime and they're also available as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. My name's Leighton. I'm one of the co-founders of Sharesies. With me here is Sonia. She's also one of the founders of Sharesies.
And today has been a big week for us. So we've just launched US Shares on Sharesies. And if you've jumped into your account this week, you will have seen that you now have access to over 3,000 US companies and funds on the US share market. And it's something that we've been working on for a while and been talking about quite a lot here. So today we're joined by financial consultant Tyrone Ross, who we'll introduce very shortly. He's all the way from the US, so it's not really lunch money for him. But he'll be giving us an intro into the US share market. Just a reminder that if you have any questions for us, you can submit them through the Ask a Question button down below. We don't really follow the chat off to the side. And legal disclaimer for the three of us, so Sonia, myself, and Tyrone today, none of us will be giving personalized advice. It will be our opinions. And if we don't answer your question, it's probably because of that. Also, just please be kind and respectful towards our speakers and also your fellow viewers. Otherwise, we will take steps to remove you from the webinar, and we really don't want to have to do that. Today, we're going to skip the news on the share market update, but if you are interested in following those more closely, we do Lunch Money emails on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and they cover both the US and the NZ share market. So you can register for those in the chat. There's a subscribe section there at the moment. I will just quickly acknowledge that the NZX is having a few issues at the moment. I'm sure you've seen that over the last 3 days. There's been a reasonable amount of media attention as well. But from Sharesies' end, we're just concentrating on getting ourselves back up and running as soon as the NZX is available again and doing our best to support them if there's anything we can do to help make sure this doesn't happen again. Right, super excited now. I'll hand over to you, Sonia, to introduce Tyrone.
Excellent. We're stoked to be joined by Tyrone Ross from all the way from the US to chat about investing in the US. He's got a super impressive CV, a financial consultant, CEO of OnRamp Invest, and works to make the investing world a more accessible place. He's got a bunch of accolades, including being recognized as by Investment News as the 40 under 40 in 2019, wealthmanagement.com as top 10 advisor set to change the industry in 2019, and financialplanning.com named him as one of the top 20 people who will change wealth management in 2020. Welcome, Tyrone. We're stoked to have you here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. I want to apologize to everyone in advance for my horrible US accent. Please bear with me. You guys have beautiful accents and you have to deal with my New Jersey, US accent at that. So no, thank you so much for having me. Congratulations on the launch. Super excited. And, you guys are now 2 feet in the madness that is the US markets.
We sure are. Thanks for joining us to help us, learn a bit more about it too, and make sure we can take all of our investors on the journey. So before we kick off, can you just tell us a bit about yourself? Who are you, and what's your story?
Yeah. So my story is it's very long, but I will start by saying for me, very passionate about financial literacy and financial education and teaching folks about the markets. Because for myself, I started on Wall Street at 26 years old and walked right by the New York Stock Exchange, New York City. I didn't even know what it was. Right? I was like, what is this? And at that moment, I realized that there was a whole world going out on there that I didn't, that I didn't know about. But born and raised here in New Jersey, and got a track scholarship to go on to college. And eventually, so I originally went to Georgia Institute of Technology, which is in Georgia here, left there and finished up at Seton Hall University, which is here in New Jersey, which is where I had a professor who mentioned working on Wall Street. And I'm like, really, I have no idea what you're talking about. You got to tell me what Wall Street is. But that was really it. And then from there, I really started to learn the markets and through some mentors and people who taught me about, the different segments of the market and being a stockbroker and then eventually being a financial advisor. That's kind of how I got here now. And then I want to say in 4 years ago, I started getting into the startup space and working with startup companies. Didn't think I would end up the CEO of a startup company when I did that. But yeah, started, you know, just became the CEO of OnRamp Invest 2 weeks ago. So excited about that. As my shirt says, right, 2015. I also fell in love with crypto. Promise not to get into that today, but that's one of the things here that I decided that I wanted to learn as much as I can about that. Because again, being passionate about access, being passionate about, you know, the unbanked, the underbanked, you know, growing up in a home that had to use alternative financial services, it was really important to bring light to that. My experiences in helping other people understand, you know, how to actually bank, how to invest and to do all of those things. So, but yeah, some other stuff in there as well. I had my Olympic journey as well, as we spoke about before coming on 2004, qualified for the Olympic trials at the 400 meters. So it's a lot going on. I'm sure we'll pull on stuff here and there, but it's a little of the journey for now.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much. Such an impressive and varied background. We're really chuffed to have you. So as you know, we've just launched US Shares and we're keen to learn a bit more about the US share market and the economy. So at a high level, can you tell us about what's happening in the share market at the moment in the US?
Yeah, I have to. I'm loving the comments. New Jersey accent is not that bad. Shout to Tim. Somebody
love,
get Tim
love a the, share. Love yeah. the accent even, yeah.
Get Tim a shares his t-shirt. And thank you to Bronnie as well. It's American accent, bro. Oh my God, these comments are great. So right now in the US markets, our markets, if you could believe it, based on everything that has been going on with the pandemic, have been up and to the right. And we've been, you know, approaching all-time highs. We had, you know, that week there in March 12th, 13th, 14th, we had that sharp nadir, right? And things kind of collapsed a bit, but it's been a hard bounce and been up since then. So, you know, we are, you know, approaching all-time highs in various markets. And, you know, again, I think with Amazon, Jeff Bezos today, his net worth went over $200 billion, right? Because Amazon is it's crazy, right? I think $82 billion he's made this year. So our stock market is completely divorced from the reality here in the U.S. where there's incredible unemployment. You know, a lot of people that are facing eviction, people who aren't paying, you know, their mortgages as well. But it's very weird because house prices are going up, but foreclosures are going up as well. So it's a very weird state in the markets right now in the US. But overall, I think when you look at, you know, the markets individually, the NASDAQ, the Dow, the New York Stock Exchange, when you look at overall our markets, you know, for all intents and purposes are healthy, right? You can argue that the underlying isn't good, but and one of the things that they always tell people, especially those that are learning, is that the stock market isn't the economy, right? Those two things need to be separate. They can kind of play off one another, but if that lesson wasn't learned this year in 2020 with our stock market, it'd be hard to understand that. But again, our markets are the proxy for the world. So you look at our markets and the health of the companies here and some of the things that are going on. It's easy for people from the outside to say, oh, you know, things are great in the U.S. They're not. But again, the share markets and the stock markets are a completely separate animal from, you know, what's literally going on, you know, in the streets and in the individual states and parts of the country.
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of drawing that conclusion or drawing that a difference between the two. Do you mind just articulating what that might be? What is the difference between, say, the share market and the economy and what you're seeing there?
Yeah, fantastic question. So the economy is, again, you get into a lot of the things that I said, right? Housing data and how many people are working and whether, you know, how many people are actually buying goods, right? And with the pandemic, everything has stopped, right? Restaurants here, have it, you know, the restaurant industry here has been battered, and I'm assuming all across the world. So the economy, the actual things that you would think lend to GDP, right? Our airline industry has been decimated again, as all not too much different from what you're seeing across the world, but because we're so big and mighty, so they say, you know, it's more pronounced here. So those things are the economy, right? All the things that make a country move, right? You know, again, service industry, transportation, all of those things where the stock market in and of itself is just, I like to tell, it's a voting machine, right? And people are just voting with their dollars on what they think the true essence is of where we're going. So if you look at the stock market as a voting machine and forecasting where we're going, right? 6, 12, people argue about whether it's forecast 6 months out or 12 months out or a year and a half. The people that trade a lot and push a lot of the trades seem to believe that we're going to bounce back, that we're going to be okay, that the U.S. is going to recover V-shape, right? Which is that bounce off the bottom. And again, that the stock market is its own animal, right? And also looking at where it was, you know, when that, again, March 12th, that week when everything just started shutting down, we had that 30% drop, and it was like, oh my God, what is going on here? Everything is shutting down. So the one thing that folks will understand is a couple of things that if you're learning here is, one, I don't care which stock market it is anywhere in the world, market participants hate uncertainty. If I'm uncertain, I'm selling, right? Like that's what, no, I'm out. I don't know what's going on until there's clarity and direction, right? Whether we're going up or we're going down, I'm out. So the market hates uncertainty. And then the other thing, which is probably most important, is, again, long-term voting mechanism. So if you're putting money into any market based on what's happening today, you're doing it wrong, right? You should be always forecasting on where things are going, right? Because that is a good way, right? And I have a mentor here. He says, he calls that stepping over dollars to pick up pennies, right? He's like, you don't want to trade and try to follow the market and every piece of news that comes out, because you'll never build wealth. You'll never really, that's not being an investor, that's being a trader. So you always want to look at the market and your news and your data of, all right, what do things look like 12 months out, 18 months out? So to come all the way back full circle to your question, the stock market believes 12 months from now, we're going to be flying high. Where the economy right now, right, you know, the amount of people that are homeless and hungry and, you know, the layoffs, people losing their jobs aren't reflective of that. So people are kind of like, well, what's going on here? But which is why, again, for me, it's so important to meld these worlds, because there are millions of Americans who have no idea what the stock market is, if the stock market exists, and they live in this world that is not, you know, 50% of the people in the U.S. do not own stock, right? If you could believe that, but that's an incredible number. And
it's 80% in New Zealand, Tyrone. 80%.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So that's one of the, we're chasing down that number.
Wow. Kudos to you all. Yeah. So again, it's really important that you guys do what you're doing. And even here, you have to think about how more robust and large and old our markets are. And we still have only half the country that are aware of stock and how to invest. So this is an ongoing thing. And this is why it's so important what you're doing. And again, in opportunities like this, that we kind of scale down the conversation and keep it very basic and just give people the basic skills to invest in anything, themselves, stocks, bonds, whatever it is. There has to be a fundamental thesis and goal that you have when you start to take your hard-earned money and place that into shares and then expect them, you know, to grow in whatever the case may be. But we can get into that shortly.
Yeah, so many great points of view in there around the longer term, and so much good stuff in there. I think one of the things that is new for us is that we are now investing with US dollars for the first time. So what's happening with the US dollar and what's happening with the US dollar?
Also, again, something to be aware of when you are starting to again, invest in overseas markets, obviously currency rates and things like that. There's a lot of things to keep, you know. So 2 points here that I want to make, but finish on that point is to check global currencies and see what's going on. So there was a while there before recently that the US dollar was getting decimated, right? It was losing value for a lot of different reasons. Again, not to get too in the weeds here, but it started to bounce a bit. But our dollar was weakening, and you started to see gold prices run up here, Bitcoin run up here. a lot of commodities, because again, that would make sense to folks if the dollar is cheaper, right? You want to get into those assets that again are commodity like, either commodities or commodity like with Bitcoin. But so that's one part of it. The other part is, again, which is really important to get folks to understand, is as you look at looking at the different currencies and what that actually means to, you know, you do the conversion, and again, not giving tax advice here, but there's tax implications, right? Capital gains and things like that. But the most important thing of this whole segment is when you start to invest in overseas markets, right? A lot of times we have what they call home country bias, right? We invest close to home because we know the companies, right? And that happens everywhere. And you have to get comfortable investing away from you. So take this opportunity very seriously for those there, because it is a great opportunity to break that, right? That home country bias where it's like, well, I'm just going to invest in what I know. I'm going to stay in my little box here. But, and again, it happens here in the US as well, where for me, I try and get my younger clients to look at emerging markets, right? To look at overseas markets, because a lot of times their stock markets are doing better. And you want to expose yourself to global growth. The world right now is very connected, right? And the global macro, you know, scene is pretty much, if something's happened in one country, one way or another, it probably affects another. So you want to make sure that you take this opportunity seriously and don't have that home country bias. So be aware of what the US dollar is doing. Be aware, again, if you're investing in Europe, right, and what's going on there with the pound and things like that in the euro. But also, again, just be very aware that look at your portfolio as you start to build it and go, all right, well, you know, all of my stock is, you know, based here. I should probably reach out a bit. So again, kudos to you guys for what you're doing, because this is a real thing that a lot of folks here in the US talk about. That home country bias is real. And you do want to expose yourself to a country, right, that has 330 million people, that has a robust economy normally, not right now, but, you know, in large and in the center of global trade and has the dominant currency in the world, right? Just being honest, right? That's just what it is. So you want exposure to that. And you want to, you know, and again, as we were just talking about, so if I'm looking, I'm like, all right, so wait, this guy in the US created $200 billion of wealth for himself, right? What am I missing out on there, right? And again, we have some companies here that are squarely in the middle of global commerce, right? Google, Microsoft, Amazon. These are companies that, you know, just permeate the world. So as you start to look out, right, you want to start, again, whether it's here, investing overseas from here, or you guys' exposure to the US as well, take that very seriously and try and avoid that home country bias.
Yeah, so cool. I love the story there about how connected the world is now. It's been topical because Sonia was quoted in an article this week, and I'm going to put you on the spot here to say that quote again, Sonia, because I reckon it was so great.
You remember it? Yeah, I was reflecting because a few years ago when I would buy, like when I was a teenager, I'd buy, not a few years ago, but I would buy fashion magazines and look through them, and I worked out that it was about 2 years before those fashions were what people in New Zealand were wearing. And so you kind of buy them early, put them away, get them out in 2 years, and that's, you know, that's a good guide. Whereas now, you know, everyone can around the world seems like they can laugh at the same joke at the same time, which it's a far more connected world.
Far more connected world. Absolutely. And I think that's what everyone needs to understand is, yes, again, look at, you know, the largest companies in the New Zealand market. I'm sure there's some type of global trade all over, you know, so we're very connected now through technology and, you know, just again, the global macro economy. So yes, right. So if I am in New Zealand and our economy is slowing down and I'm invested, you know, outside of that or vice versa, right, now you have that good balance. Again, it's another way to diversify, right? And diversification means a lot of things, not only in terms of your portfolio mix, but where you invest and so on and so forth.
Yeah, cool. There's quite a few differences between investing in New Zealand and US share markets. We've talked about currency fluctuations a little bit. I mean, even so much as the opening hours. So the opening hours, it starts at about 1 a.m. in the morning for us, I think, and finishes at 8 a.m. So, and then there's liquidity differences. So it tends to be a lot of liquidity available. So that's the excess of shares available on the market at any given time. But maybe for someone who hasn't invested in the US share market before, what's your view, Tyrone, on why they should choose to invest in some US companies and funds?
Right. So just to, again, let's talk about the basis here. So again, our markets here, you know, open at 9:30, close at 9:30 in the morning, close at 4 p.m., which is really interesting because if you are on the West Coast of the country, right, the market opens at 6:30 and closes at 1. So all of my friends that are in California that do what I do, they're kicked back on the beach at 2-3 o'clock and we're still waiting, right? We're still looking at the markets and doing things here. So a big distinction there, again, to your point about, you know, the liquidity and the amount of trade, you're talking billions of trades per day on the New York Stock Exchange, where I believe there's 2,800 stocks trading. I think there's 3,500 to choose from total here, 1,700 plus ETFs. There's a lot. Right. A lot to choose from. So it's really important to narrow that down and really important to understand. Again, one of the things that you want to do again, and I don't care where you're investing or what it is. It's really important. Everyone start with what your goals are. What is my goal? Right. And then if you have a financial goal, you can tie whatever you're going to do to a goal. Couple of things. One, that means you probably have a plan, a financial plan that says, okay, well, I'm going to build this portfolio. I'm in order for me to get exposed to the largest companies in the world and the most liquid markets, I need to go to the US. But my time horizon may be 15 years, right? Also, what having a goal and a financial plan is if the market drops 30%, you're not really panicked. You don't like it, but you say, all right, I'm still on track. My goals are met. And by the way, stock market is the only place in the world where the price is dropping, everyone runs out the store, right? It's the only place, right? Any other time prices drop, people run in, stock market prices drop, everyone runs out the store. Get me out. It's on sale. I hate the sale. Get me out. So I think if you're tying what you're doing to a goal, and I think if you want to become a seasoned investor, you want to build wealth for yourself, or have some type of financial freedom, you should look at, you know, the US markets. And again, I would envision that's why you guys made that decision to make it more accessible. But again, very liquid markets, the ability to get into very unique industries, right? Whether you have the ability through exchange traded funds, right, which are ETFs, to if you only want to own consumer companies or airlines or real estate or oil. So if you're going to get really specific about what it is that you want to buy and really specific about what you want to invest in, this is, you know, our markets are a great place to do that because it allows you to get very, very granular as opposed to, well, here's this 50 companies, have at it, right? Like, yeah. You know, so you can get very granular here and you can trade if you want or invest until your heart's content. But there's a lot of really different markets and innovative ways where you can, you know, you can explore investing here. Or as you guys know well, if someone says, all right, well, I don't really want to do all that. I just want to buy, right, the S&P 500, right, the Standard & Poor's 500 here. It was the 500, right? 500 stocks. And just, I just want to own the index. I just want to buy that and do that, right? You can do that as well. Or the NASDAQ, right? Which has, it's made up of tech companies. So you'll have your Microsoft and your Googles in there as opposed to holding individual shares. So as you start to look at and folks start to, you know, get off of here and learn a little bit more about the US markets, if it fits into your financial goal and what you're actually trying to do just to get exposure, it's very broad, right? Very liquid. And again, it will be hard to trade it anyway based on the time difference. So I encourage everybody just to buy and hold, invest and let it go. You don't want to be up trading the market. Like
it's a long night, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Just conscious of time a little bit here, Sonia, so I'll hand over you to ask a few questions about the future.
Cool. My computer's paused. Do you just want to ask that one later?
Yeah, all right. I'll ask that one instead. Sonia really needs to get a new computer, for those who don't know. In your view, Tyrone, what's the future of the US share market and what are some of the things for our investors to keep an eye out for?
The future. So we have this big thing coming in November, which is our election. I think I saw somebody mention that before. And the Trump administration has been very accommodative to those that have wealth and own shares and businesses, hence the performance of the stock market. It started when we saw that he was even going to get in. And we had, again, a tremendous run up the last 11 years anyway, but he just kind of put the turbo boosters on it. That may be pivotal, right? In looking at, well, you know, if we go from a Republican based, you know, government in Senate to a Democratic, you know, president, and whether it's the Senate is mostly Democrat or Republican or that whole thing. So again, major reason to make financial decisions? No, but it is going to affect our markets. And I will say this, I think if you, again, going back to what I was saying earlier about forecasting out, I think if you are looking at long-term growth, long-term demographics, right? We have the millennial, right, group here in this country is the largest generation. So those that are now 38, 39, mid-20s, that's the largest generation here now. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm paying attention to. These folks are coming to their highest earning years. They're going to inherit a lot of wealth. And then right behind them, you have, you know, Gen Z. There are 42 million 10 to 19 year olds in the States, right? Like that's what I'm paying attention to, not necessarily like the demographics and things like that. So I think there are a lot of things that we can talk about that can influence the markets. I think right now you want to be very careful, again, always tie it to your goal. But I think if you're talking a really long time frame, it's hard to bet against our country and the innovation and things like that. But I think, again, if you're looking in that 6 to 12 month time frame, 18 month time frame, it could get a little sticky. There are just some things here that I think are going to creep into that market. But then again, if that happens and we do take a dip, that should present a really good buying opportunity. And that's what I tell my young clients. Well, if you're under 40 and the stock market drops 40%, you want that, right? Like your parents who are looking to retire don't want it, but you want it because you get to buy on sale. And then you have a 15, 20, 25 year time horizon before you sell or you want to get out of the market. So again, a lot of that, what's my age? What's my goals? What is my risk? What is it that I'm actually looking at the US market for? But I think the next couple of months for us will be choppy, especially going into the elections, and the elections are going to have a lot to do with, you know, how people overreact, because they will, to what happens in the market. And I also think that may be another thing, being a voting machine, as I mentioned, maybe the stock market is saying Trump gets reelected. We are in the clear. He gets reelected. Let's just push this thing higher. Could be. I don't know. There's some folks that think that. But, you know, I think on a shorter time frame, we'll bounce around a bit, but on a longer time frame, it's hard not to, you know, build a constructive investment thesis around the US and not get a little bit of a taste or some exposure to our markets for sure.
Cool. Great answer. It's odd, isn't it? Investment markets. It's like, it's something we talk about a lot on this podcast, Tyrone, but it's one of the weird things where the short term seems to be very murky at the moment, but the longer term you can feel like there's a bit more clarity on. It's like you feel like it's a really good idea over 10 years plus or these longer time frames, but the next 2 or 3 months seems like who knows what's going to happen. But,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And again, I would encourage everybody watching, again, you are making a big step here tuning in, but be very patient. The best investors ever learn, they read. And when you don't just read investment books, read about human psychology, read about human behavior, read about history. That's how you become a really good investor. Because at the end of the day, you have a bunch of humans moving and trading this stuff. So you want to follow and read various topics, but especially amongst history, human psychology, behavior, and things like that, because again, it's what people say and what they do are two different things, right? And it's just really important that I would just encourage everyone to read, be patient, learn. You're going to make mistakes. That's just the tuition for investing. You're going to do all this work on a company and it's not going to work out. You got it wrong, right? You have to know when to cut your losses and move on. And also, by the way, to everybody watching, if you have a stock that goes up 10 times, you're not a genius. You got lucky, right? So you're never that smart and you're never that dumb, right? So you just gotta, you know, like everything in life, you gotta have a balance. But, you know, if you have a stock that does well, you shouldn't quit your job and start a hedge fund, right? You should relax, right? You got lucky, right? And you know, same thing when it goes down. It's not that you should quit. You just got it wrong. And that's okay. You learn from that. You take notes and you say, okay, well, this is why this didn't work out or whatever. Because again, there's the smartest people in the world doing this 24/7, 365, and they're trading against you, which is why, again, what they don't have is your goals. That's the one thing they don't have. They have more tools than you have, right? But they don't have your goals. So if you stick to your goals all times, through all weather, through all storms, you'll get to your financial goal, whichever that is. But you definitely don't want to, you know, tie it to what this market did or that this stock did, because it's you'll burn out.
Yeah. Great chat. Thanks so much, Tyrone. We're going to go into the quick fire. We've got like 51 questions here. We'll see how many we can get through, but the challenge is going to be like 10 seconds, 15 seconds an answer basically. So we'll see how you go. All right. So the first one from Jackie, the highest voted one today. I'm a newbie investor. I'm keen to find out where there are good, reliable sources of information to help make informed decisions about which shares to invest in short, medium, and long term.
Oh, I don't know if you guys can get it there, but investopedia.com. Go right there.
Great. Yes, we can get it here. Yeah. Next one from Matt. Tesla stock. What's your take on them in their future?
I love Elon Musk. That's all I can say.
This one from Taylor. I understand there are great companies in the US, but getting taxed at 33% seems ridiculous when my PAYE is 10.5%. How is taking the extra tax beneficial? Taylor, I might answer this one. I'm not sure how over the New Zealand tax market Tyrone is. But basically, you won't be charged 33%. So the way RWT, which is resident withholding tax, works in New Zealand, on the dividend when you first do it, we arrange that the IRD gets their cut of it. And then in your tax return, you'll get back the difference with a little bit of math in there, but between your PAYE rate, which you've got here at 10.5%, and the 33% that it's taken at the time of dividends. So you can have confidence you won't end up paying all that much more tax. And you might want to just send our help. Sorry, this is long for 15 seconds, but maybe in case there's a few people thinking about this, send a question into our help center and they'll be able to support you on any tax things like that. All right.
What he said.
Tyra, I'm going back to you. So for a split, is it better to invest in a company before or after the split?
Does it matter? Quickly on that, again, if I give you a dollar or four quarters, right, and just using US dollar, it's still a dollar, right? It's just broken up, right? So Apple, if you own one share, now you're going to get four, right? The price, you know, changes, it drops, but the actual market cap value stays the same. So it's not much of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Great. This one's for you, Sonia. Does the US stock market have dividends and are they available to Sharesies investors? It's from Andrew.
Yes, they do have dividends and I'm pretty sure they will be available to New Zealand investors.
They are. I've got one. I received one already.
Yay, that's awesome.
The next one is it possible to attend incoming USA IPOs like Airbnb via Sharesies? This is from Ali. We're going to work on giving as much access as possible and more to come on those types of things.
Can I say something on that really quickly? Really important with IPOs. I know folks get excited, but when companies IPO, wait, because there are so many people that were in beforehand. And then when the company IPOs, they want to dump those shares on you. So wait, see how it trades, maybe look at their first earnings report and then invest. Don't be excited to get in IPOs unless, again, you can get in a company where the share price is like 14 cents and they're going to put it on the market at $14. Just be patient with IPOs and kind of let the market play out, especially here in the US, because they shoot up and a lot of people get hurt. So just be patient. Again, as I was saying before, wait maybe till the first or second earnings report and go from there. Sorry, that was more than 50 cents, but I had to.
No, that's all good. Thanks. This one here, Harry, is maybe a personal thing. It's my question, what stock is good to invest in US markets and why? Maybe a little bit too much personalized advice. I'll leave it to you, to Tyrone, if you want to throw out some favorites or not. But
I can't.
Yeah, okay, that's can. Good.
Yeah.
We can't either, sorry. Similar rules. is the upcoming Apple and Tesla share split just going to create a panic buy at a cheaper price? To you, Tyrone. Yeah,
great question. Yes, because there are some very inexperienced folks that are going, oh my God, now I can get this many. Right now, Apple and Tesla did that because they look at the share price and go, all right, the average mom and pop can't afford it. So yes, I think people are going to go, I've actually had friends go, oh, should I buy Apple now? I was like, well, if it's more appealing to you, right? And that, and here's the thing. Also, there's a difference between price and value. Very important. Price is what you pay, right? Value is worth, right? And what something actually is valued in the market. Price is just simply what you pay. Value is something totally different. So the value of these companies are independent of what the share price is. And you have to do a lot of more research there, but that could extend to all things in life. Price and value are two different things.
Great. Thanks, Sonia. This one's for you. Any chance of adding stocks on ASX in the near future?
Yes, this is something we're going to be working on. Yes. I'll take less than 15 seconds.
This one's from Jim. Just want to know about the taxation when investing in US markets for the NZ investor. Jim, check out our help center. We've got a bunch of tax stuff there. Or flick a message in the app through to the team. And maybe it's something we can cover in the next couple of weeks in a bit more detail. Tax seems a little bit topical. This one here, Tyrone, I'm new to this. My question would be about the tech companies. Are they better than pharmaceutical or other stocks?
Are tech better? It's hard to say that. Again, you have to look at what your goals are. I hate to keep saying this. It sounds kind of cliche, but it is. It depends on what your goals are and what you're actually investing for. But I will say this. If you look at the history of the world, technology has never gone backwards. It's always gone forward, and it's going forward faster. So
in this specific example, it's true for medicine as well.
Yeah, for sure. That is true. That is true.
Sonia, this one's for you. Will we be able to see the market depth for the US market? It's a slightly smiling face from Craig for this one.
Yeah, I don't know from that. Do you? Do you know later? No, I don't.
I think chuck a request into and it'll probably fall into a product backlog or, you know, a product priority list. And the more people that ask for it, the more likely it's supposed to arrive, I'd imagine. We say like this. Yeah, I mean, we can probably also help on that at some point. But thanks for throwing that as a request, Craig. I'll answer this one quickly. Some US companies I see listed on the NASDAQ don't seem to be available on Sharesies. There's a specific example here from Jeffrey. How do we choose the companies to make available to Sharesies investors? And will any of the missing ones be added later? So the answer is, Jeffrey, we've actually been adding more and more stocks, more or less by the day, actually. So for the last few months, we started for the first few people who started investing in the US on shares, he's had about 20 options or something. So yes, we'll continue to add more over time. And we also need to work with our partner, who is DriveWealth, the on-market broker in the US, and we'll work with them to get as much access as possible. But we're all about access, that's for sure. Andrew, I think I might have just answered your question there for the same thing. There's a few more Tesla ones here, which are a little bit more on the side of
everyone loves Tesla.
Yeah.
Beautiful cars.
Another one I've answered. Sorry, I'm just reading through as I go here. So this is a great question, I think, Tyrone. So one, most people go over to when to buy, but how do you know when to sell?
Oh, here I go again. Goals, right? So here's the thing. Do not buy without having an exit. Right? You have to know when you're buying a stock. Well, if it hits this price or I hit this goal, I'm out. Don't let the market dictate when you sell or what somebody said to you in the grocery store or it's raining on a Tuesday. Like that shouldn't determine when you sell. When you actually go into a stock, you should have an exit already, right? Unless you're just saying, I'm buying this stock and it is going to go in a trust and my kids are going to, you know, live off of it. But when you buy a stock, if I'm saying, okay, well, I'm buying a $20 stock now that I think is worth $30, again, value, the price is 20, but the value is 30, and I think this can go to $100, when it gets to $100, I'm selling to somebody who thinks it's at 100, it could go to 300, but I'm out. I've made 5 times my money, I'm out. So very important, again, and this is the difference, and traders do this as well, trader and investor, but do not hit buy on anything until you know what your exit strategy is. Because it's very easy then to say, all right, and a stock could be going up like crazy. And this happens all the time with clients. And it's so funny. When are you going to sell it? At 75. Oh, I'm good. I made a ton and I'm going to, and then it's at 80. Well, what if it goes to 90? You said you were going to sell at 75. So you don't marry your stocks, date them, right? And, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's okay to date in the stock world. You don't need to marry them, right? It's not a good thing. But the minute you hit buy, also have a strategy of when, you know, and a goal of when you're going to sell. I'm sorry. That was long. See, this is bad. I'm sorry.
That's all good. That's a great answer though. Thank you. And a great question as well. So the last one we're going to answer today, because just conscious of time and there's so many questions there and it just keeps on adding to it. So we'll try to address some of those later and some themes maybe in a blog or something afterwards. Maybe we can get Tyrone to help us out with some of those if he's still keen to engage with us. But we've got the last one I'll just answer quickly, which is how to invest for passive income from stocks. There's a few ones around dividends and stuff here. So Harry, for the US stuff specifically, I'd look at some of the ETFs. There's some really great exchange traded funds that are built exactly for that. And in fact, there's some New Zealand ones as well. So there's a New Zealand dividend ETF. And so those are great places to start for that. And the question on dividends, there's actually a filter in the Sharesies app now for companies specifically and what dividend yields and stuff they pay. And you can see a massive list of those. And I'm sure our product team would love any feedback on the filters and things that might make choosing from thousands of stocks easier for you. We'll leave the Q&A there. Sorry, we answered quite a few actually, but there's still a lot there. But I'll hand over to Sonia to wrap up.
Cool. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and a huge thanks to Tyrone for joining us. So much engagement, so many great questions, and I think this sets us up really well as we go forward in our journey to be investing in US shares. So thank you Absolutely. For being here.
Shout to everybody in the comments. I'm loving the comments. That's such a cool feature. Shout to everybody in the comments. I hate to fly, but I do have to get to New Zealand at some point.
And I think lots of great compliments on the accent as well, which is good based on your earlier comments.
Thank you guys for putting up with my accent. I appreciate you all. Shout out to everybody in the comments. This was awesome.
Yeah. Cool. So thanks for tuning in. And as Leighton mentioned, this is the first iteration or the first launch of US Shares. And if there is anything you'd like to see, anything that would make your investing experience better, please do let us know. We'll be building our roadmap of what's next based on your feedback. So do keep in touch with us about that. And so, as usual, we'll be here next Thursday. We'll be joined by our product manager, John Scully, for a bit of an Ask Me Anything session about the launch of US Shares. So another good one if you're wanting to dig in about our product and what we're thinking around that. So keep your questions top of mind. And so pre-register in the chat and we will put that in there. So, that should be going in there now. Great. So enjoy the rest of your day. That's it from us. Thanks again, Tyrone. And thanks for everyone joining.
See you guys. Everybody be well. What a comment section. Be well. Love and light to you all. See you soon.
For more info, visit www.sharesies.nz or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Ka kite anō. Take care and happy investing.